from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, entitled The Appearance of the Demon Rudrasura, and verse number 14.
Tribhuvanatma Bhavana Trivikrama Trinayana Triloka Manoharanubhava Tavaiva Vibhutayo Diticha Danujadayascha Pitesham Ubakrama Samayoyanti Samatva Maya Suranara Mruga Mishrita Jalachara Vidibhir Yata Varadham Dandam Dandadhara Dadhartha Evam Enam Abhi Bhagavan Jahi Tvashtram Uta Yeti Manyase.
What I'll do, I'll just read word by word. You can repeat after me.
Tribhuvana Atma Bhavana. O Lord, you are the shelter of the three worlds. Because you are the super soul of the three worlds. Trivikrama. O Lord, who assumes the form of Vamana. Your power and opulence are distributed throughout the three worlds. Trinayana. O maintainer and seer of the three worlds. Triloka Manohara Anubhava. O you who are perceived as the most beautiful within the three worlds. Tava. Of you. Eva. Certainly. Vibhutayaha, the expansions of energy. Ditija, Danuja, Adayaha, the demoniac sons of Diti and the Danavas, another type of demon. Cha, and Api. Also the human beings. Tesham. Of all of them. Ubakrama Samayaha. The time of enterprise. I am this. Iti. Thus. Swaatma Maya. By your own energy. Surya Nara Mruga Mishrita Jala Chara Ankriti Bhi. With different forms like those of the demigods, human beings, animals, mixtures, and aquatics. The incarnations Vamana, Lord Ramachandra, Krishna, Varaha, Hayagriva, Nrsimha, Matsya, and Kurma. Yatha Aparadham. According to their offenses. Dandam. Punishment. Dandadhara. Oath, supreme chastiser. Dadhartha, you awarded. Evam, thus. Enam, this one, Vritrasura. Api, also. Bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jahi, kill. Tvashtram, the son of Tvashta. Uta, indeed. Yedi manyase, if you think it proper. O Lord, O personified three worlds, father of the three worlds, O strength of the three worlds, in the form of the Vamana incarnation, Oh, three-eyed form of Nrsimhadev. Oh, most beautiful person within the three worlds. Everything and everyone, including human beings and even Daitya demons and the Danavas, is but an expansion of your energy. Oh, supremely powerful one, you have always appeared in your forms as the various incarnations to punish the demons as soon as they become very powerful. You appear as Lord Vamanadev, Lord Rama and Lord Krishna. You appear sometimes as an animal like Lord Bo, sometimes a mixed incarnation like Lord Narasimhadev and Lord Hayagriva, and sometimes an aquatic like Lord Fish and Lord Tortoise. Assuming such various forms, you have always punished the demons and Danavas. We therefore pray that your lordship appear today as another incarnation, if you so desire to kill the great demon Vritrasura. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. There are two kinds of devotees known as Sakama and Akama. Pure devotees are Akama, whereas devotees in the upper planetary systems, such as the demigods, are called Sakama because they still want to enjoy material opulence. Because of their pious activities, the Sakama devotees are promoted to the higher planetary systems. But at heart, they still desire to lord it over the material resources. The Sakama devotees are sometimes disturbed by the demons like demons and Rakshasas. But the Lord is so kind that He always serves them by appearing as an incarnation. The Lord's incarnations are so powerful that Lord Vamanadev covered the entire universe with two steps and therefore had no place for His third step. The Lord is called Trivikrama because He showed His strength by delivering the entire universe with merely three steps. The difference between Sakama and Akama devotees is that when Sakama devotees, like the demigods, fall into difficulty, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for relief, whereas Akama devotees, even in the greatest danger, never disturb the Lord for material benefits. Even if an Akama devotee is suffering, he thinks that this is due to his past impious activities and agrees to suffer the consequences. He never disturbs the Lord. Sakama devotees immediately pray to the Lord as soon as they are in difficulty, but they are regarded as pious because they consider themselves fully dependent on the mercy of the Lord. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, Tatenukampam susamekshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam Ridvatva Purphir Vidadhan Namaste Jivetayo Mukti Pade Sadayabhag. Even while suffering, in the midst of difficulties, devotees simply offer their prayers and service more enthusiastically. In this way, they become firmly fixed in devotional service and eligible to return home back to Godhead without a doubt. Sakama devotees, of course, achieve from the Lord the results they desire from their prayers, but they do not immediately become fit to return to Godhead. It is to be noted herein that Lord Vishnu, in His various incarnations, is always the protector of His devotees. Srila Madhvacharya says, Vividham bhava patravat sarve vishnoho vibhodeha. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. All the other incarnations proceed from Lord Vishnu. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnana Janashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamadam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchagatpadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhudair Mahatbhirgai Mahapuro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodajatmaka Sodam Krishishtha Bhagavan Vachamsi Me Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
Here the demigods are coming to the point, coming to the conclusion what they want. So far they glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now in this verse, indeed, they are glorifying the Supreme Lord. At the same time, now they are very clear what they want. And they are coming to that point that if it is appropriate, please kill the demon Vritrasura. Just as you have done this in various incarnations which are listed in the prayers. So here we can see the series of incarnation. Sura Nara Mruga Mishrida Jalachara Akriti Bhihi. So it's very clear. Sura is referring to Trivikrama. And other incarnation, Sura in the demigod lands. And the Lord has appeared in as Nara, referring to Lord Ramachandra, and also Lord Krishna. Mruga, referring to animals, just like Varahadev. Yes, Varahadev, the boar incarnation. Then Mishrita. Mishrita is referring to the mixture of human and animal forms. So that is Mishrita. Mishrita means mix. So that is referring to Narsimhadev. Then, which other form? Hayagriva. Right? Hayagriva. So that is Mishrita. That's your name. So it's a Mishrita. And then, Jalachara. Jalachara means aquatics. Who are Jalachara? Matsya and Kurma. So in this way, the demigods have very eloquently listed all different incarnations. And when the demons became very powerful, all these incarnations killed the demons. And that's why it is mentioned here, Dandam Dandadhara. Danda means punishment, and Dandadhara means one who can punish, or the supreme chastiser, as it is translated here. So this is the position of the Supreme Lord. When it is required, the Lord can punish, and for that purpose He appears. That's the reason in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, this verse is partially quoted in this purport. Ete chamshakalah kumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam. And the next line is very interesting. Indrarir vyakulam lokam മൃഡയന്തി യുഗേ യുഗേ. സോ ഇന്ദ്രാരിൽ വ്യാകുലം ലോകം. സോ ദ സ്പെസിഫിക് റെഫറൻസ് ഈസ് ടു ദിസ് വേൾഡ് വെൻ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ബീങ് ടോർമെന്റഡ് ബൈ ദ ഡീമൺസ് ആൻഡ് ദ ഡീമൺസ് ആർ മെൻഷൻ ആസ് ഇന്ദ്രാരി ദ എനിമീസ് ഓഫ് ഇന്ദ്ര. സോ ഇറ്റ്സ് എ വെരി വെരി ക്ലിയർ സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ് വെൻ ദ 22 ഇൻകാർണേഷൻസ് ആർ ലിസ്റ്റഡ് in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. So very clearly it is presented. Okay, when the world is perturbed by the enemies of Indra, then the Supreme Lord appears in various incarnations to protect the demigods and to punish the demons. So because he is the supreme chastiser, Dandadhara, as it is mentioned in this prose. Now this purport is very substantial. And this purport is very strongly presenting Srila Prabhupada's mood about pure devotional service. So this is given by giving a comparison between the Sakama and Akama devotees. So Sakama devotees are devotees who have material desires, even though they worship the Supreme Lord, and Akama do not have any material desires, but they purely serve the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada is on the pure devotional platform, and those who are on the pure devotional platform, or those who have the wealth of pure devotional service, they want to give what they have to everyone. So it is not like somebody is rich, they don't want to see anyone else rich. They want to have their unique position maintained. So that's why there is competition between who is the richest, number one, number two. There will be Forbes reviews coming out maybe every 6 months or 1 year, I don't know, quarterly, whatever. And they cannot stand who is the number one and number two. There is a tight competition and envy. However, pure devotees want to see that everyone comes to the platform of pure devotional service. And so Srila Prabhupada is not compromising at all in any of the purports. If we consider Vedic literature, Vedic literature have a lot of sections dedicated for Sakama devotees, Karmakanda sections. So it's not all about pure devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam is indeed presenting only pure devotional service, even though other aspects are discussed. When it comes to Srila Prabhupada and his elaboration on Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita or any other Vedic literature, there is only pure devotional service. Everywhere, it is just filled with pure devotional service. So if someone asks, or if we present a statement to Srila Prabhupada that, look, I cannot do this because I am not a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada often used to pose a rhetorical question. Why are you not a pure devotee? So it was a rhetorical question. Meaning, okay, why? You know, why are you not coming up to the standard? So Srila Prabhupada's baseline is pure devotion service. And that we can see in this purport, making it very clear for us what is pure devotional service. If you think about other sampradayas, they often follow varnashram system quite strictly. So if somebody is walking to the temple, they are not going to speak about, okay, surrender to Krishna, sarvadharman paritya mamekam sharanam raja. Generally they say, okay, brahmacharya, now grihastha, go through the family life. Okay, at the stage of vanaprastha sannyas, we can talk about complete surrender unto Krishna. Here, anyone walks into the door, pretty much we are directing towards pure devotional service. May not be the first lecture, may not be the first beginner's lecture, the initial lectures, but pretty much when they start reading Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada directly starts speaking about pure devotional service. There is no adulteration whatsoever. So this is the point we are trying to make. And indeed, we don't mind people joining the temple. Rather, we encourage devotees joining the temple and doing full-time service. It's encouraged right from the beginning, isn't it? Whether men or women, everybody is encouraged. You want to join the temple? Okay, join the temple and do full-time service. It's encouraged. Because we are giving a taste for full-time engagement in Krishna service. Or taste, what is it like to serve completely Krishna? It's a training. One may not be on that platform, but it's a training and that is encouraged for. One day I was doing book distribution and I met a Muslim boy. He was a very nice boy and devotional, and he was a practicing Muslim. And we started discussing a bit. Of course, I didn't want to spend a lot of time because I think he took a book. Can't remember exactly what happened. However, he was telling their relationship to the Supreme Lord is they approach the Lord for their material desires. So that is a natural way of approaching God. So I said, there's a higher platform. That is, we serve the Lord for His pleasure. And we are not encouraged to list our needs and demands in front of the Lord. So he was a bit bewildered. He said, oh, that is a very, very high platform. And in our system, that's not being encouraged. I have heard that there are some monks or somebody who is live very remotely. They are having a very reclusive lifestyle and they may worship like that, but in general we don't do that. So that's a general understanding of worship of God with material desires. That is asha, desires. All that one can approach the Lord out of material desires. Just like the business transaction. That is the beginning stage, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. And of course the next level is out of duty. First is transactional, then is out of duty, which is considered superior. Lord Chaitanya, when he visited Udupi in South India, he met with Tattvavadis. Lord Chaitanya understood that the Tattvavadis were proud being Vaishnavas. So the Lord wanted to teach a lesson to them, and at the same time He wanted to be very instructive to His followers. So the Lord engaged in a conversation with the leader of the Tattvavadis. They were Vaishnavas, there is no doubt about it. They were Vaishnavas. So understanding their pride, the Lord didn't directly engage in Sankirtan. Rather, He initiated a conversation. And in that, the Lord Chaitanya, accepting a very humble position, He asked the following question to the leader of the Tattvavadis. So He asked, Lord Chaitanya asked, this is from Madhyalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 9, verse 20-255. Sathya sathana ami na jani phale mate, sathya sathana shreshta janaha amate. Lord Chaitanya said, I do not know very well the aim of life. So you had to understand who is speaking in. I do not know very well the aim of life and how to achieve it. It's a very classic question if you consider the Vedic perspective. This is the classic way of asking a question, and the answer is also expected to be very systematic. So this is called the Anubandha Chatushtaya. So any literature should have the Anubandha Chatushtaya according to the Vedic way of writing. Meaning there has to be a topic of writing or a topic of discussion, and there have to be three explanations, which are Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. Otherwise, those who are from the Vedic tradition, they won't read such a book. And engage in a conversation, they will tell, no, we will not engage in this. This is not a proper conversation. Just move on. So this is the Vedic standard. So Lord, being a Vedic scholar, He presented the question very clear. What is the aim of life and how to achieve it? Please tell me the best ideal for humanity and how to attain it. So in essence, He is asking Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. So He is, you know, just coming to the point, you know. There is no
you know, beating around the bush, because the Tattvavadi leader is a Vedic scholar and Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. How can you say he's just a scholar? He's more than that. So here, Acharya ka hai, Varnashrama Dharma Krishna Samarpana E Hare Krishna Bhakti Sreshta Sadhana. The Acharya replied, when the activities of the four castes and the four ashramas are dedicated to Krishna, they constitute the best means whereby one can attain the highest goal of life. So this is the answer. And then he continued that Panchavidha Mukti. So he told there are Mukti or Panchavidha. We know the five kinds of liberation. Starting from Sayujya, Salokya, Samipya, Sarupya, Srashti. So the five kinds of liberation. He explained five kinds of liberation. And he said, Panchavidha Mukti Pana Vaikuntha Gamana. So he said, obtaining this five kinds of liberation and going to Vaikuntha, that is the whole purpose. So he explained the prayojana. Go to Vaikuntha, that's the prayojana. Sathya Shrestha Hoy E Shastra Nirupana. Okay, this is the conclusion of the all Shastras. So he was also very clear, he was also to the point. The means is following Varnashram and offering the results to the Lord. And get the five kinds of liberation. Of course, he didn't accept the first one, Sayujya. That's why he clarified, saying that, okay, Vaikuntha Gamana, going to Vaikuntha. Of course, he is very strict regarding Mayavad, being the follower of Madhvacharya. So, you know, there is no issue in that regard. However, the Lord contradicted. So this looks a very good answer, isn't it? It's a pretty good answer. If you think about current standards, if somebody can speak like this, it's very, very glorious. Right? People don't even know. I'll tell you one incident, not in our temple, some other sampradaya. And one of our devotees went, okay, Vaishnavas, one of our devotees went, and the Acharya there asked a question to their congregation. The question was very simple, or he asked a couple of questions. Okay, one question he asked was, why do you come to temple? What is the purpose of coming to the temple? So, it was a congregation sitting. Some of them said to see the Lord. But many of them started saying, it's a good opportunity to socialize. It was a genuine answer from the heart. And this devotee told me, the Acharya got very frustrated. And this devotee was, you know, he wanted a little bit, you know, to show. He gave an answer which was like, good answer, very... He gave a very technical answer. He started saying, the Lord has expansions like, you know, the Para, Leela, the Chaturvyuha, and we cannot access any of them. So we can only access the Archa form. So that's why we come to the temple and we walk, you know, we worship the Lord. And the Acharya clapped his hand. Interesting, even a normal devotee. So devotees are not really normal, we have to understand. Devotees are always special. Even a devotee can understand, okay, there is a purpose. Even if who is coming to his contemplation, we get an idea what is pure devotional service. Because Prabhupada is repeating, you know, so many times, makes it clear. So we may not be on that platform, at least we can understand the objective. So Lord Chaitanya, being very instructive to them as well as all his followers, he stated that Prabhu kahe, Shastra kahe Shravana Kirtana Krishna Prema Seva Phalena Parama Sadhana. He also in one verse he established the point. No, following Varnashrama Dharma and just offering the results to the Lord, that is not the purpose. Purpose is Shravanam Kirtanam. So he is meaning the all items of devotional service, the Navanga Bhakti, the Navidha Bhakti. So that is the real purpose, that is the real means of achieving the Supreme Lord. The means is Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, glorifying the Lord. It's not just offering the results to the Lord. This is very instructive. And if you read Nectar Devotion, we can understand from Rupa Goswami and a very beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada, the difference between Karmarpanam and Kaingaryam. Those who are doing Bhakti Shastri, you may know. You may have gone through these terms, right? So, Karmarpanam is You do your activities according to Varnashram, not sinful activities. Whatever is prescribed according to Vedic duties. And then offer the results to the Lord. That is good. But Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says that is not even accepted as bhakti. So in other words, the prominence is not for glorification of the Lord. Prominence is not for serving the Lord. Rather, yes, offering results to Krishna is there, but it is more ritualistic. It's not out of affection. So that's where Mahaprabhu is cutting the argument of this Acharya. And then he says the aim is not just going to the abode of the Lord, but it is Krishna Prem. Developing love for the Lord. And here I will just read an excerpt from the purport. It's very, very beautiful. In this way, I will not read the whole purport, some excerpts. In this way, the Tattvavadis established that the execution of the principles of Varna and Ashram for the sake of Krishna is the best way to attain the topmost goal. Who has presented the same point to Lord Chaitanya? Ramananda Rao, right? Varnashram Acharya, he quoted that verse. And again, the Lord rejected. The Tattvavadis thus established the principle in terms of human society. Based on social order, no? Based on transcendental devotional service. According to the Tattvavadis, the highest goal is returning home back to Godhead. But in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion, the highest goal is attaining love of Godhead in either in the material world or in the spiritual world.
Which person?
This is 258. Madhya, chapter 9, verse 258. So this is a very critical point. The objective is not just going back to Godhead. Rather, it is pure devotional service. And pure devotional service, if one performs wherever one is, that is Golaka Vrindavan. That is the essential point. And here, even though Prabhu says that one will not be fit to return to Godhead, this purport, see carefully, is one is not immediately become fit to return to Godhead, one who is a Sakama Bhakta. So fit, the fitness is pure devotional service. If somebody is a pure devotee, one can go back to God if Krishna desires. Or if Krishna desires that such a devotee should come back and preach, that is up to the Lord. So the point is pure devotional service. That's why Krishna Prema Seva Bhale Parama Sadhana. So that is the Parama. The Sadhya is ultimately what? The pure love of Godhead. So this is made it very clear in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Then of course there are nice quotation from Bhagavatam. This is the beginning of Bhagavatam. This is not the end of Bhagavatam. Right? This is the beginning of Bhagavatam, if you think about it. What is that verse? Anyone knows which verse is that? Establishing pure devotional service, rejecting everything else. Not that one.
Dharma,
exactly. That's right. Your mother. You can learn. Do you know that verse? Dharma Prochita. Very good verse, actually. Yeah. Dharma Prochita. Kailavotra paramam nirmat saranam sadam vedyam astavam atra vastu shivadam tavatrayam mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahavanikute kimva paredishoye sadyo hriti avirudhyate yatra kriti shushrushubhi tat kshanat. You know that, yeah? Oh, very good. So, dharma prochita kaitava dharma. So, the point is, the kaitava dharma is being prochita, is being rejected completely. This is the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. After defining the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam in the first verse, second verse rejects all other cheating religions. So it's a very high standard. If you think about what we are awarded with, what we are given and what we may take it for granted, it's a very high standard of devotion. It's a treasure. It is very high standard, and that's why completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. So all these phrases are used by Srila Prabhupada to present pure devotional service. So yeah, it's amazing if you think about it. And Mahaprabhu, of course, in that conversation, goes on explaining further the higher levels of chanting, like from the 11th canto in Evamrata Swapriya Nama Kirtiya, how one chants with complete affection and love for the Supreme Lord. That is the means to obtain the Lord. And these are actually symptoms of pure devotional service. These are symptoms of Prema Bhakti as manifested by Lord Chaitanya. So in the entire teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he is presented very concisely by Srinath Chakravarti. Srinath Chakravarti, and it's a very famous verse by Srinath Chakravarti in Chaitanya Mata Manjusha. It's a very nice verse and it's quoted very often in many places. The Lord Chaitanya's teachings are presented in one verse. You may have heard this verse. Aradhyo Bhagavan Pratesha Tanaya Taddhama Vrindavanam. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya. Who to worship? Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya. So this is Srinath Chakravarti Thakur says, okay, this is the first teachings of Lord Chaitanya. In the first teaching you understand. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya. Then say, Taddhama Vrindavanam. And what is this verse is about? Vrindavanam. Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadhu vargena ya kalpita. And the means of worship or the highest standard of worship is established by the vrajavadhus or the gopis. So this is the highest form of worship of the Supreme Lord. So here in Lord Chaitanya establishes what is the object of worship, where he lives, and what is the highest standard of worship? That is Ramya Kajit Upasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Ya Kalpita. Then Shastram Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Purvartho Mahan. Shastram Bhagavatam Pramanam. The Pramana, the evidence we had to find in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's why there is Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Pramana of Srimad Bhagavatam is established in Tattva Sandarbha. If you read other books of Srila Prabhupada a few times, then it's a very nice book to read. That is Tattva Sandarbha. The entire book of Jiva Goswami is establishing the Pramana as Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the purpose of the book. Establishes the position of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very amazing book, I believe. Very, very logical presentation. Everything, as I mentioned earlier, everything according to Vishaya, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. It's based on that the entire book is presented and establish the position of Bhagavatam, and based on that other sandarbhas are written to establish Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So that these are the six sandarbhas, the content. And then Shastram Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartho Mahan. So here in this conversation Lord Chaitanya is establishing the point that there is the Panchama Purushartha. It's not Dharma, Artha, Kama or Moksha. The fifth one is there. And that is Prema Pumartha Mahan. That is love of Godhead. That is superior to the normal four kinds of Vedic objectives and means. And Itham Gore Mahaprabhor Madamidam Adastatra Tatradaro Napara. So he says that Itham Gore Mahaprabhor Madamidam. This is the opinion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there is nothing superior to it. So this is the position of Lord Chaitanya and his teachings. And Srinath Chakravarti explains this in one verse. Everything is concisely presented in just one verse. I remember I took my parents and my few other relatives, a few elderly people, to Mayapur and Vrindavan a few years back. So they are from South India, and in South India, as we know, there is a prominence for rituals. There is a prominence for rituals, we all know. We had to do this puja, do that, do this, do that, and so many things are there. So my parents, they were understanding a philosophy a bit that time. They were okay, especially my dad understood philosophy, mother also understood philosophy quite a bit. So they were fine. But other relatives, they didn't understand. However, there were worshipping the Lord ritualistically for all their life. And when we reached Vrindavan and when we went to Radha Damodar temple,
And I usually tell, you know, in for Janmashtami we do so many offerings in our temple, morning this many offerings, afternoon so many offerings. I usually, you know, just tell. So when I started my Krishna consciousness, when I started speaking about prasadam, they concluded, this guy has become a devotee only for prasadam. So even after a few years they asked me, you know, so you followed this because of prasadam, right? You gave all the list of prasadam. So that is the reason. Now you are a brahmachari because of prasadam. There is more than that. Prasadam is the reason. But there are more than that. So this prasadam consciousness was very strong, because from the day when I called them and tell, you know, I am eating this, I am eating other thing, all these details. So, when we reach Radha Damodar temple, they opened the curtain. So it is quite different, you know, the South Indian temples are quite different compared to North Indian temples, the huge temples and everything is according to, you know, the time, everything quite different, right? And offerings are completely different in a, you know, it's not just offering everywhere, everything is pretty strict and, you know, arranged and, you know, and offering time, door is closed, you cannot see the offering, everyone is out of the temple. So if offering is going on pretty much, they will ask you to just get out from the temple, you know. Certain times, you know, you had to go out of the temple room, not just the altar, temple room, you had to get out. So it's pretty strict. So they opened the curtain and they saw Radha Damodar with and other deities with lot of offerings. So the whole altar was full of offerings. And seeing that, my aunt's heart melted. She was completely transformed just seeing that. And she told me, now I understand. Okay. She was 84 that time, no, probably she's 87 or 88, I don't know, something like that. But she was 84. She said, now I understand. You were telling, you know, to do this offering. Now I understand. This is really out of affection you are offering to Krishna. You know, there's so many items are just in front of the Lord. It's out of affection. See, understand. We have seen offering only as a ritual so far. Now I understood what is it meant by offering. Actually, what is meant by offering? And she had some money, whatever she had, she gave to the pujari, the whole thing. So it was a transformation right in front of Radha Damodar. Good, she's standing. I had to call her, find out how many. At least 8 is happening, I think she's standing, 16. So this is the effect of seeing the Supreme Lord, and this is the effect of seeing pure devotion in devotees, the power of association and the Lord. It has a major impact. And that's what we are aiming at. Be reflective of our own consciousness. Be reflective on our own intentions behind devotion service. And that is very beneficial and that is very rewarding in our progressive bhakti. So our journey is from being sakama to akama. And that is graphically explained by the demigods. And Prabhupada is telling how to move from that sakama platform to akama platform. To understand this, nectar devotion is very helpful. In the beginning of nectar devotion, there is a definition of pure devotional service. Bhakti Uttama. I'm not going to get into the details of the verse. But the Uttama Bhakti is defined. What is the beginning of the verse? Anya Bhyatada Shunyam. Jnana Karmadhyana Navadam Anukulyena Krishnanishilana Bhakti Uttama. Now, here the question can arise, who can perform Uttama Bhakti? Is it meant for those who are on the Bhava platform, Prema platform, or Dhyaganuga platform, or above? Is for whom this Uttama Bhakti is presented? Any idea? What? It's for all. this is the point. Rupa Goswami is presenting it for all. Not for one who has already Prema Bhakti. It's not for them. It is presented for everyone right from a neophyte. Of course, one may have to go through the stages of, you know, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha. Primarily from the stage of Bhajana Kriya. Or if one understands what is devotional service, following regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, following Ekadashi, performing other devotional service, when one comes to that platform under the superior guidance of the devotees, a devotee on that platform is meant to practice or try to practice this Uttam Bhakti. This is the point. So officially, the Bhajana Kriya starts at the time of initiation, officially. Even before one can start, but officially it's at the time of initiation. Because then one has accepted a spiritual master and one is following bhakti according to the rules and regulation. So there in itself, one is meant to platform Uttam Bhakti. Then there is a natural doubt that can arise in our heart. Because I have so many anarthas. Right, you know, so many unwanted things are there. And now we have so many unwanted things in our heart. Then how can we practice Uttama Bhakti, or how can we attempt to practice Uttama Bhakti? So then the answer is there. In Bhajana Kriya, Rupa Goswami and the Acharyas, they know that there are anarthas. Because for that reason, there is anartha nivritti as the next part in the progressive stages of bhakti. And so there will be unwanted things, and it is accepted. Still, one can avoid explicitly praying to the Supreme Lord for material benefits. So that can be avoided. Consciously can be avoided. Or if such thoughts are coming, one can correct oneself. So that is the point. In that way, one can attempt to practice Uttama Bhakti according to our capacity. A very good example came to my mind, because this is a story of an amazing devotee. If you think about a normal devotee, but if you think further, we know that it's not very normal. Prabhu's name is Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu. I didn't know this Prabhu, but I came to know about this devotee when I heard when he departed from this world. This is quite a many years back. Maybe 10 or 15 years back he departed from this world. And Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu was a devotee in Vrindavan temple, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He was from Bengal. He joined the temple when he was 56 years old. So, according to that standard, he was very old. 56 was very, very old. Because all the devotees were in their 20s. And one person joining 56, that was something unusual. Then he started serving Krishna Balaram temple. And it is mentioned, Prabhu, he served the temple as a cook straight 17 years. Cooking all the offerings for Krishna Balaram and Radha Shyamsundar and Gauranga. 17 years. It is something amazing, isn't it? Just think about it. And he didn't do anything. So this is from Prabhupada's time, because that time there was shortage of pujaris and cooks. So he would go in the temple 2:30 a.m. And I was amazed, because I heard about this only, you know, when he departed. I didn't know about this. He's not a famous person or anything. And just a normal devotee if you think about, but not normal. 2:30 a.m. he would go to the kitchen, and he would stay in the kitchen till 1 p.m. And then he starts at 3 p.m. and till 10 p.m. And he did that day in and day out for 17 years. And when Prabhupada was there, think about this, you know, this is not normal, this is very empowered. When Prabhupada was there, one day Srila Prabhupada wanted kachoris and samosa. So he told Bhaktacharya Maharaj, who was his servant, and asked, you know, can you get kachori and samosa? He asked who is cooking. So it looks like Prabhupada knew who was cooking. Get it. Then Bhaktacharya Maharaj, as servant, he straight away went and went to the deity kitchen. Went to the deity kitchen, Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu was cooking for the Lord. He said, Prabhupada wants some kachori and samosa. Immediately, he didn't think, you know, okay, this is to offer to Krishna Balaram. Now I cannot give to Prabhupada. No, devotees are very clear. Offering to Prabhupada, offering to Krishna. Straight away, he put two kachoris and two samosas on a plate and gave to Bhaktacharya Maharaj. And he took it and offered to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada started eating. That time, Tamakrishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj, they were very upset. Prabhupada shouldn't eat this. He hasn't eaten for a very long time. And why you are giving all this prasadam to Srila Prabhupada? He has been fasting for a long time now, something which is deep fried in ghee. Prabhupada is an old man, how can you give? So he said, you know, Prabhupada asked, I'm giving, that's it. He gave, and Prabhupada slowly smashed it was very hot from the wok, and he smashed it and started eating, one piece by one piece. And then Nothing happened. It was night and Prabhupada slept and he was alright. He got good sleep and Maharaj says that he felt okay. And I felt relieved that nothing happened to Prabhupada by having this prasadam. And one day, one devotee complained about Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu that he is not chanting his 16 rounds. Okay. So Prabhupada asked, what is he doing? He said, he is cooking all the time and he is chanting all the time. So he used to chant, he used to chant not only Mahamantra, he used to chant all Vaishnava songs all the time. And one day Prabhupada heard Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu singing and he said, oh, so very much appreciated the devotion in his songs. So it is not about tune or you know all those things, but it's the devotion. And then Prabhupada said, he doesn't dare to chant on the beats. Of course, it's not for us. It's for Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu. So please understand the instruction. We are not serving the Lord all the time. So this is the quality of Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu. So how one is being steady in service year after year. Then after 17 years, he couldn't no longer stand straight and he couldn't cook. And he was started serving Charanamrita. His service was, anyone comes, start serving Charanamrita. And then he couldn't even do that at one point. Then he retreated himself to his room. And his room was a small room, but it is like a replica of Vrindavan. Everything is there in that room. And he just spent his last time, you know, chanting. So that is when he was just completely immersed in chanting. It's mentioned, if anyone tries to glorify or if anyone tries to associate with him, he would always glorify other services. He would say, your service is more important than my service. He had this realization that Prabhupada once told that everything in Vrindavan is there in the four walls of the Krishna Balaram temple. You don't need to go out. Everything is there in this boundary. So he never went out of the Krishna Balaram temple. In the whole lifetime, that after 56 till he left this world, he only once he went out of the temple. He never crossed the boundary. So this is dedication, you know. So this is the power of pure devotion. Even apparently, service can look normal, cooking, but it's cooking for Krishna. And this power of dedication, it is mentioned that when he left the world, devotees did kirtan 10 hours straight. And when he was leaving, Dhanurdhar Maharaj and Bhurjan Prabhu, they were next to him. So all advanced devotees were around him and then that's the time he left the world. So you can understand the power of devotion, the power of service. So this is what Srila Prabhupada was teaching us. This is what Srila Prabhupada was teaching us. So it is not normal, it's not just ordinary. Next, we had to come to this very important point in this purport that is very, very instructive. Srila Prabhupada explains how to deal with difficulties. Because in the time of difficulties, the demigods are approaching the Lord and requesting the Lord to fix the situation. The normal time it can be okay not to ask for material things or protection from the Lord on the material platform. But what can we do at the time of difficulties? That is the challenging part and that's where our faith is tested. When things are going okay, it's alright. We can say, no, look, I'm not praying to Krishna to remove this obstacle or this or that. I'm not praying. But when it's in a difficult situation, then what? So it is said that when we are placed in fire, then the reality comes out. It said, when the gold is placed in fire, two things comes out. One is the shining gold and also the black stuff which are impurities. It's called shamika in Sanskrit. Shamika. Both will be coming in the same way. In the time of difficulties, the real nature will come out. Even in normal relation, we know. If somebody is stressed out, then what is in will come out, right? If somebody is under pressure, then the reality will come out. Or if you make some ghee out of butter, have you seen? You know, you boil the butter and you make ghee. A mother used to do that. And when it is boiled, you know, when they make the ghee, initially it's a bad smell. Have you seen? It's a really bad smell. And you can see all the black impurities surfacing, right? And then after some time, it becomes very pure.
So ghee then become very fragrant, you know. Not exactly like, you know, the, you know, sometimes the aloe vera ghee, when there is no fragrance. But if you boil and if you make ghee, you lose so much of fragrance. It's a real ghee. So it is like that. So that's where this verse is presented by Lord Brahma in Brahma's prayers in the 14th chapter or 10th canto. Verse number 8. Very famous verse. Tattenukampam susumikshamano. This verse is quoted here. This verse is quoted in Nectar Devotion as the guideline for us how to practice devotion service even in difficulties. So despite difficulties, how can we practice devotion service? So that is Tattenukampam susumikshamano bhunjana evatmakritam vipakam. So when one is going through difficulties, this verse is quoted in Bhagavad Gita, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's that everywhere. So this is the guiding verse for devotees living here, and we have to go through difficulties, and there is no doubt about it. That is this world. So what is the mentality? What is the consciousness? First is bhunjana eva atma kritam vipaka. Bhunjana means one goes through. Bhunjana technically means enjoys. Bhunjana or eats. But here it can also mean suffer. Bhunjana eva atma kritam vipagam. What is the meaning of atma kritam vipagam? Whatever difficulties I am going through, it is because of me. One doesn't try to point fingers to others. So that is the first thing. Understand? Okay. Take the responsibility. It is because of me. Then tattenukampam, and understand this is the mercy of the Lord. And susumikshamana, and one basically one is think that okay, I will wait for the mercy of the Lord and I will still practice Krishna consciousness but while tolerating the material difficulties. That is hrithvak vabudbhir vidhatan namaste. Using one's own heart, hrithvak, words, vapu, one's own body, vidhatan namaste, one worships the Lord. And if one does that, what happens? Jivetayo mukti padesa daya bhak. One becomes a rightful person to go back home, back to Godhead or for devotional service. So I'll just read a little bit of the purport from the 10th canto. Sridhar Swami explained in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness, following the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the Personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the Kingdom of God. So one has to just continue. That is the principle. Just continue. Even if there are difficulties, just continue. One time there is a story. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's many Brahmachari disciples, they had practiced Krishna consciousness for 12 years or more. Brahmachari, they had like 12 years or more. So they did a fair bit of service. And they were feeling very ashamed that they don't have any feeling for the Lord. So they went in front of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and they didn't want to speak. They were very shameful and they were very reluctant to open their mouth. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj asked him, what happened? Why are you not speaking? They said, very reluctantly they said, look, we don't have any devotion for the Lord. We are not feeling anything. We are just doing it, but we don't have any feeling or we don't have anything. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj simply said that you just continue. That was his answer. What you're doing, just continue, everything will come. So this is the same point here, that one should just continue devotion service. There can be difficulties, there can be ups and downs, but the point is just continue. The word su samikshamana indicates that that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Actually, we are suffering. The dealing with the anarthas, it is a suffering. It's a problem. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotees punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. So this is the point that we need to understand. Still we have the enjoying spirit and the Lord wants to remove those vestiges. And for that, the Lord is punishing the devotee
And that can look like some suffering. So that is a personal hand of Krishna. That's why it is mentioned. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and let go of the material world and return back to Godhead. So this is the point. So this is arranged by Krishna. In other words, a devotee who is properly performing devotional service is not within the purview of karma, but Krishna's hand is directly there. It can be sometimes difficult, but it is the direct hand of Krishna. And that's why one has to pray for the mercy of the Lord. And in our moment, we can see so many devotees performing pure devotional service, dedicated for so many years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and still, despite difficulties, going strong in devotional service. So that is our inspiration. We can see the life of His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj. Yeah. Materially speaking, it's impossible. And going through so much of health challenges, traveling the world. You know, just he went to America, came through Middle East, came to India. How is it possible? So this is actually showing that despite material difficulties, advanced devotees perform devotional service, and their consciousness is very high. They are not actually suffering. The one who is in ignorance thinks that they are suffering, but actually we are suffering. They are not suffering. Their consciousness is with Krishna. So this is the highest platform, and that's what Prabhupada is trying to explain to us in this Bhagavad. Any questions or any comments? Hare Krishna.
You were mentioning about karmarpana and the other.
Yes.
What is that?
It's two technical terms which are used. Karmarpana means do the work and give the result to Krishna. So these two terms are used in nectar devotion. Prabhu, do you remember the chapter? Which chapter? Karmarpana and Kaingarya comes. 12:13?
Yeah, 12:13.
Yeah, 12:13 of nectar devotion. So, the nectar devotion speaks like this. Some people say that offering the results of varnashram is bhakti. However, our acharyas, including Bhaktisiddhanta, do not accept this. Rather, direct process of devotional service such as shravanam kirtanam, that is considered bhakti. In other words, that is called kaingaryam, or being a servant of Krishna. Kinkara means servant. So, kaingaryam means performing service for the pleasure of the master. So that is considered as bhakti. But doing the varnashram duties, okay, in grihastha life I had to do this such and such thing. Okay, I am doing everything for Krishna. So that in itself is not bhakti. In other words, the emphasis is for hearing and chanting. Of course, in our society, emphasis is given for hearing, chanting and doing service for Krishna directly. So we are in the right path. Yes, we have, okay, first you can add a later to the question. Yeah, first question. Okay. It's a good question. Oh my God. Where did you get this question from? So she's telling, I have heard that to read Bhagavatam, we have to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And to read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Am I right? So how is it? How to resolve this contradiction? So there is a bit more explanation required. This is a good statement. To read Bhagavatam, we have to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. But if you want to go deeper in Bhagavatam and to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, we need to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Why is it so? To know Bhagavad Gita more, we need to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And if you want to understand Bhagavatam more, we have to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. The reason is, Chaitanya Charitamrita's main reference is Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, philosophically, Chaitanya Charitamrita is explaining further the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are more than 300 verses from Bhagavatam quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the essential aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam are presented and explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So to go deeper in Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to study Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then, other point, yes, of course, we had to read systematically, and that's why it is mentioned that first read small books and other books, then read Bhagavad Gita, a few times understand that, and then one should know about Srila Prabhupada, better read Leelamrita, then read Bhagavatam, and after reading Bhagavatam, we can read Chaitanya Charitamrita, like that, progressive reading. And reading all Srila Prabhupada's books, then one may read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, then Lakhu Bhagavatamrita, Tattva Sandarbha. So we have not got it. Hare Krishna. So we have what's your question? I'm not catching. Slow down and louder, please. Pray to devotees for?
We pray to Krishna for suffering.
Oh, suffering. Okay, yeah.
Is that considered?
Okay, the question is praying to Krishna to alleviate a devotee's suffering. So not our suffering, another devotee's suffering, is it pure devotion service or not? Yeah, it's a good question. Yes, we can pray for other devotees' suffering, and that is superior than praying for our suffering, to get rid of our suffering. At the same time, we always pray, as even demigods hints upon that, that we always pray that, you know, please, whatever is your desire, we don't want to see anyone suffering. We pray for the devotees to alleviate devotees' suffering, and at the same time, also we say that, look, if Krishna, if you so desire. So, we always give that final right to Krishna, even in our prayers. In other words, we acknowledge Krishna's independence and His desire. So we say, Krishna, if you so desire, yes, please. That's the reason when advanced devotees, especially when they say, you know, we'll see you tomorrow. We say, yeah, see you tomorrow. They say, yeah, see you tomorrow if Krishna willing. Have you heard that? When I speak to very senior devotee, they always say, you know, we'll see you in Melbourne, Krishna willing. So they always give that final right is for Krishna. It's not in our hand, it's up to Krishna. So they want to remind us, and they want to remind themselves that the final say is for Krishna. It is Krishna's pleasure, it is Krishna's desire, it is not me, it is Him. Okay? So that's why consciously they say, okay, if you so desire, or it's Krishna's will, like that, to remind ourselves, because we can very easily be carried away by our own desires, and we can very easily pray, Krishna, do something for me. We'll always do that. So that's why we had to be mindful, that's why we are being reminded. Yeah. Okay. Last question, please.
Here you talk about Sakama and Akama devotees. So we have, we have a lot of desires. So when we are performing devotional service, it can be sakama sometimes. So do we just continue where we are, or do we actually
stop service?
No. Do we like try to pretend to be a kama devotee and try to?
It's a good question. In our devotion service, we can see our material desires, and so do we just continue our devotion service thinking we are akama, or acknowledge our sakama nature? It's very important to accept our nature. One of the anartha that we have is we think that we are more advanced than what we are actually. That is part of the problem. So it's very good if we can accept our limitations. It's very good. Then we can tell Krishna. And especially when material results are coming and which are not really good for us. We know that those results are not good. One can pray to Krishna, please don't fulfill those desires. These are coming to my mind. Please remove them. I don't want them. So have an honest conversation with Krishna. So the artificial conversation is not going to work anyway. Okay. Thank you. Grandrashana Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.